this current situation in eastern Congo is happening in an area of land that is hugely rich in terms of the minerals and the natural resources, from gold to diamonds to this mineral called coltan, which is used for the manufacture of mobile phones, digital technology, hi-fi systems, computers, all of the things that we take for granted in our day-to-day life. And there are two rebel groups and 20 militia separate groups vying for control over this area. Now, there's also an ethnic element that is portrayed as the most important part of this conflict, a spillover, if you like, from the Rwandan genocide. But really underneath it all is this massive wealth that is not only protracting this conflict, but is the root cause of it, and the control over these hugely wealth.
Who controls them at the moment? Like, who controls most of the mines or most of that area?
The government control most of the country, apart from these two areas, which are controlled by, as I said, a mixed bag of rebel groups. So there's no-go areas, there's no man's land, and there's two groups in particular. Laurent Nkunda controls most of North Kivu, and then the FDLR, which is this mixed bag of ex-Hutu rebels, which control a lot of South Kivu. These areas are the size of France. Congo, just to put it in perspective, is the size of all of Europe, with a population of 60 million. And this area itself has a population of almost 10 million. So we're talking about vast, vast areas.
And how did the conflict start? How people are fleeing their villages. Where did that come from? How did that begin?
That's right. There's, at the moment, 250,000 people fleeing their villages, running across land of rebel-held land, trying to seek protection and safety within the town, the surrounding towns. This is coupled with more than a million people who've been displaced across that region over the last few years. Now, Congo, unfortunately, has been ravaged by war, decades of dictators pillaging the country. There was a sign of hope in 2006 when elections, the first elections in 45 years, where the whole country got up and voted. People walked for days, queued overnight and cast their vote. And they now have a very new, a very fragile democracy. Following that was a peace agreement between a lot of these rebel groups, only just signed this January. Yet within the peace agreement was a commitment to disarm these rebel groups. And this has not happened. So one of the rebel groups wants them out of the country and disarmed, and understandably so. But the government has not been able to do that yet. So the other rebel group said, well, if you can't do it, we'll do it. Mm. And that's how this war escalated in August. And so in the last 2 months, more than almost a quarter of a million people have been affected and displaced.
And what about Trokra's role in all of this? I mean, what have you been doing in the Congo, and what do you hope to do now in the future? Or what are you doing now about the crisis?
Well, Trokra has been working in the Congo for many years. We have an office in the capital, but we also now have two people who've just been travelled over to the east and working with our local partner, our local church partner called Caritas in Goma. And what they will be doing is supplying emergency relief in terms of shelter, blankets, food, water for all the hundreds of thousands of people who are living in and around the city, church buildings, schools, in playground. Well, they don't have playgrounds, but, you know, in fields. There are literally people living out in the open. And so Trokra's partner will be providing immediate support to all of these people, but with the view to, in hopefully the very near future, to help these people go back home in safety, and certainly not before there is protection and security, bringing them back home, helping them rebuild their lives, working on long-term farming, helping people get back to their work, providing short-term kind of microfinance for people to start up businesses. It's not all about handouts or charity. It's about supporting people in ways that they can help themselves. We also work a lot on the issue of peace building and peace and reconciliation. There's community level reconciliation. There's a lot of underlying kind of grievances in the Congo that really need to be addressed. So Trokra supports a lot of work by the church partners, the Justice and Peace Commissions, who focus on that element, which is crucial to long term stability in the country, to have reconciliation at community level.
Is this a setback for Trokra and for the work that you have done in the past?
I think emergency situations such as conflict, they always disrupt the work that has been done. I wouldn't like to think it it's a step back, but it's certainly a disruption. If you can imagine being in a village when it becomes overtaken by rebels or by conflict, then you flee and you lose everything. You carry what you can, but more often than not, if people do return, they find their village is empty and looted and pillaged, and they have to again start from scratch. So I think people have huge resilience and they're able to start again. It's not like us. We don't have, you know, they don't have a huge amount to begin with. So, you know, they get stuck in again, and Trokra is there to support them in those long-term agriculture, as I was saying, and peace building and the things addressing the root causes. But another important element, I think, is getting people involved politically, at least even at village level, being aware of their rights as citizens, things like the elections, you know, encouraging people to vote, encouraging people to get involved and be, you know, involved in the shape of their country and to be politically active and aware. And even in terms of their farming, you know, more voices together. We encourage people to form corporations so that they have a say at regional level about the policies that are put in place in terms of farming or in terms of trade, or so, you know, looking at the big picture of building a country up that has been ravaged by war for so many years.